Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Oh, it's the return of Nigel and the Nightcats with the original off-the-air theme. And there's words to this, right?
Well,
have you heard this one? You've heard this one. Jess is here. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
That's Jason, our producer. Thank you again for downloading Off the Air, podcast number 18, I think, if I've got that in my head. No? 19? Is it 19?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're almost at 20.
Oh,
we're going to do something big for 20?
We can almost drink. We should do a drunk podcast. We'll do a drunk off the air.
Negative.
Drunk off the air off our ass. That's what we'll do. Hi, how is everybody? This
good.
Is going to be a good show today. I understand Jess has some happenings in her life she'd like to share with us.
I don't want to share it. You're the one that wanted to hear
what,
it.
What, the ringtone?
I got a ringtone.
All right. You got a new ringtone on your phone?
Do I need to hear it? Can you call me? It would probably be faster if you would call.
Are we seriously doing this?
Well, she's very excited about it.
I like this song. I like this. It's a song.
Is it the song I think it is?
I don't think so. What song do you think it is?
Well, that song you...
He's hit so many buttons over here. He can't call you?
I was thinking of that song.
No, it's not that song.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Really?
Yeah.
It's Phil Collins because
of Stephen Lynch.
I love Phil Collins. No, no.
Oh, no.
Why would we do what did Stephen Lynch have to do with Phil Collins?
The Stephen Lynch song. He referenced a Phil Collins song,
No, actually, I watched the Friends episode when Chandler and Monica get married, and they play Groovy Kind of Love on a violin, and it makes me cry every time.
Oh, yeah.
And so then it made me look up Phil Collins songs, and that's my ringtone.
It's a Groovy Kind of Love.
That's the story.
I don't do the ringtones. I do the, I don't mean the music for the ringtone. Who wants to hear my ringtone?
Not me.
Okay, here we go.
Is this the one that Jason made for you so it would sound like the office phone?
No.
Oh. Do you remember that?
No, I remember that. I used to have the Tom's an ass bag when Tom would call me.
That's good.
Tom's an ass bag.
Tom's an ass. Okay, here we go. Ringing in. No, that's not it. Oh, here we go. Shush.
Okay.
It takes me. Okay.
Oh, God,
that's
awful.
Oh, no, that's not it. Yeah, that's not good. This is it.
Yeah, that's
a nice ringtone.
That makes me clench.
clench what?
My nostrils.
Yeah.
Your nostrils or your butthole? Clench your butthole.
Don't say butthole. Jason, I was just talking about you the other day with our friend, the dentist.
Oh, Mr. Greg?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't know that we had a podcast.
There's probably a reason. He knows.
I was worried. I was like, oh my God.
No, he knows.
Okay.
He should know.
Okay, good.
I tell him a lot of things.
Oh, hey, I got a story about Jason. I think you know this already, but I'd like to share it with you. Maybe I did share it with you, but I think it's podcast worthy.
Okay. Uh-oh.
So a couple weeks ago, Jason goes, "Hey, you should come by and play euchre during Monday Night Football."
You did tell me this story. You cried when you told me this story.
A little bit. I had to punch myself in the shoulder to stop from tearing up big time. But Jason goes, "Yeah, you guys play euchre Monday? Yeah, you should come out." Okay. And he goes, oh, we play six-handed?
If we have six people, yes. And a lot of times we do have six men.
Okay. So they have six. And he goes, we only have five right now. And this is like Friday. Mm-hmm. And he goes.
Yeah. I showed him a text. My buddy Sean sends me a text. Hey, look,
stop.
I've only got five.
Right.
Who do we get? Blah, blah, blah.
Right. So they get me. I'm six. Monday. And he goes, you can be six if we can't find the other guy. Right?
Yeah. And we hadn't got confirmation from a Scott.
So Scott hadn't called.
You were on standby.
And so Monday, I'm excited. I'm going to go play euchre at Jason's house.
No.
So I walk in after the show, the big time show, and I go, hey, tonight's euchre night, right? And he goes, ooh, we found Scott. Nope, you're out. Just like that. And I go, well, first of all, you know me, I'll lash out. First of all, I've never heard a fucking six-handed euchre in my life.
No, you said, why can't you play seven-handed?
And I go, if you're going to play six-handed, why not play seven-handed? And then I go, hey, wait a minute. Find another guy. We'll play normal
euchre.
Two tables of four. So I didn't even ask you this past week. And you didn't say anything about it.
They don't play every Monday.
It's only like every third week or so.
Yeah, it's once a month.
What?
It's once a month.
So here's the big issue here.
So am I in or out? I'm out.
you're out unless Scott is busy.
We never know who's coming. There's like 8 or 9 guys, right, and usually about 6 of them.
Why do you even ask me then?
Well, and that's my bigger point, is I'm not going to ask again if this is the way you're going to act.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you start your own euchre party?
Maybe I should. Mm-hmm. And Jason,
who's going to be there, Jess?
Bodart
will be there.
You guys will play two-handed euchre.
That's what we're gonna call it. And
that's called queer euchre, right?
That's big time queer euchre. And Jason, I'll keep you on standby.
Listen, you're kind of on the see. I gotta ease the. You're not just some guy who shows up.
What do you mean by that? I am some guy.
But to me, yes, you are. But to them, you're not just some guy.
You're the guy they listen to.
Would you behave and be fun and be just one of the guys? Yes, you would.
Would I behave and have fun? I'm tired of chick getting in the way of my personal life. That's all I got to say. Okay, I'm pretty fucking tired.
I would have been fine with it. But I didn't want to. I mean, you're the 7th guy sitting off in the corner watching
Maybe
football?
You guys should start out where you just go and watch a game. Like, you go up to Jason.
I could get you snacks.
A Purdue football game or whatever Purdue
Yeah, and you took Kostaki to a Purdue game.
I did.
Never invited me to a Purdue game, ever. You know what? This is a Foo Fighters thing, isn't it? It's a Foo Fighters thing all over again.
What's the Foo Fighters
like
thing?
Like 5 or 6 years ago, you invited me to a Foo Fighters concert.
Mm-hmm. And you were so excited and you talked about it.
I was so excited, so excited.
Day comes.
I didn't want to go.
You didn't want to go. Don't say I can't. You could.
I didn't want to go.
Like a big dick.
And I told Jason, he goes, oh, that's all right.
And Jason went by himself.
And did you punch yourself in the arm?
No. You know what? I did a good deed to get over myself is what I did. Because a friend in the building had another friend who didn't have a ticket, couldn't really afford a ticket.
And really wanted
to go. I gave the ticket to that. Didn't even know the guy.
That's awesome.
So I'm kind of responsible for that.
He had a great time.
You're not responsible.
I'm terribly responsible for that. I think as I see it.
You did the good deed.
I did. So thank you, Jason.
Hey, Chick, do we have emails?
Yes, Jess, we do. This is from a guy named Philip. Hi, just wanted to say it's 9 a.m., 6-pack deep.
Really?
And it's awesome to have another McGee doing big things out there. Cheers, Philip McGee.
Oh, you know there's a cartoon on Adult Swim called Assy McGee, and I took a picture.
Assy McGee.
A picture of it, and when Chick calls, that's what comes up is a picture of it on the guide.
Yeah. Is it back to Assy McGee? Is that what comes up now?
No.
What comes
just
up
the
now?
Picture oh. of it. It doesn't say. It Assy. Says Charles.
Charles. Why do you say it like that?
I don't know.
All right.
He's fussy.
I know.
I'm not fussy at all. Well, how would you like it if you got...
Oh, my God. It was 3 weeks ago.
Fucked out of a euchre game, and you'd barely been looking forward to it. Hey, do you know, guys, that the Off the Air podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy.com?
No.
Yes, they are. GoDaddy is the world's largest provider of web hosting with over 55 million domain name registrations and over 10 million customers. Wouldn't you like to be one of those customers?
I am one of those.
I tell you what. You know what? If you want to be one of those customers... Call Jason and he'll let you know unless Scott calls to be one of those customers. Is that what
Yeah, that's how it works. Yeah.
Actually, how it works is go to chickmcgee.com, click on the GoDaddy banner, and you'll get your new domain name for only $4.95, including a free one-page website, a personalized email account, photo album, and more. So enter promo code McGee at checkout. That's M-C-G-E-E at checkout, or go to chickmcgee.com and click on the big, hairy GoDaddy banner. Thank you, GoDaddy.
Do you think we should get do you have like Chick McGee something else you want out there?
Can't think of anything. I was so excited to get Chick McGee instead of Chick McGee 1 like on Twitter. I was
right.
We could do like Chick McGee
Charles Chick McGee,
McGee
Charles
Chick McGee
Charles Chick McGee
Assy McGee Chick McGee.
Okay, you know
Chicky Ass McGee
Chicky Jiggy. We're very excited today on the Off the Air podcast. Mm-hmm. We have actually a longtime friend and a coworker,
family.
He's family.
Yeah, pretty much family. Yeah, he is family. You are
family.
Family. Yeah, if I was got pulled over by the cops again, I would call
this guy.
And he would, I have no doubt he would come running.
He was the only one with a valid driver's license at all of us.
Oh, that is a long time ago. We'll tell that story in a minute. Ron Sexton joins us on the Off the Air podcast. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Chick, Jess, Jace.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, great to see you guys.
How long have you been in the building?
1990
yeah.
or 91.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was in college at Butler and was working at WNDE and did nothing in the way of college life. I didn't have a beer until I was like 32.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I was working at WNDE from midnight to 6, would run Larry King Live.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And a funny story, I was working at Butler's radio station at the time, and I don't think you'll care. A guy named Todd Mello was in one of our radio TV classes.
Yeah.
And he worked at WNDE, and he was just telling me how much he liked it, this and that. Well, one day he comes in, and he's down. And I was like, what's the matter? He said, I got fired.
Oh.
He got fired? Yeah. So I'm like, oh, wow, there's got to be an opening.
That's a shame. So, there must be an opening.
So I know they say never make a phone call. So I immediately make a phone call. Mm-hmm. And Pam Farron was the program director at the time. And I'm like, oh, this is going nowhere. Well, she didn't want to work midnight to 6 that weekend. So
yeah.
I got hired immediately.
That's awesome.
And so anyway, long story short, when I was here for about a year or so, one of our engineers is telling a story. Because I said, Todd, why'd you get fired? He goes, oh, man, I dozed off. And the GM came in and fired me. For dozing off? At 3 a.m.? Wow.
Right.
Come to find out, he didn't doze off. He had a sleeping bag with an alarm clock, was not playing legal IDs, commercials, anything.
I totally remember this story because when I was a kid growing up in Central Ohio, there was a disc jockey on WNCI. His name was Dr. Todd. And this guy's name was Todd.
Yes.
And after he fell asleep, we all started calling him Dr. Nod because he fell asleep a lot. And I totally remember that story. Yeah, he was a world class sleeper as far as getting paid for sleeping.
Yes,
he had it clocked. Yeah.
So he couldn't even set the alarm at 2 till so he could run the legal ID.
No, he would set it right before 6 a.m. so he would be awake before the next guy would come in at 6. But that was I was working at WXLW, which was a so-called Christian radio station at the time, 9:50 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was as crooked as any operation at the time, because they had they would run Grambling football, and they would get paid to run Grambling football in Indianapolis that had beer commercials and stuff on a Christian radio station, and then it had to air before midnight. So it was my job at 11 to put this thing on fast speed on a reel to reel, and so it would sound like the Chipmunks doing play by play. It's the most.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Well, you might not instantly recognize Ron Sexton's name, but he has worked with us for a very long time, as you can hear. And he also is still on the Bob and Tom Show. He's one of our most popular. I hesitate to say the word character, but I guess that's what it is.
A voice talent.
He's a person to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Leland Nairn.
He's Garden. Real.
Yeah.
That's right. Ron does the voices of Floyd the Trucker, Christie's neighbor, Mike.
God.
Gosh, that's funny.
Oh, thanks.
And of course, Donnie Baker is Ron Sexton. So that's... That's who Ron is, and that we're lucky to have him on the podcast. And you also do before we get to Donnie and all the I guess the most popular ones. We always, because when we first started the On the Road comedy tour on Bob and Tom Show, Ronnie was there. Of course, Donnie Baker was there almost every show.
Mm-hmm.
And but backstage, you would do. My favorite voices that you do are friends that you know.
Oh, yeah.
The guys, that one guy who was,
couple buddies that would make, it's basically, it would make a great sitcom. I don't know if it'll translate on the podcast. But yeah, I got a buddy of mine, Carrie, that if he does have a couple beers, he tends to almost speak through his nose and has a very distinctive laugh.
But you know Carrie, right?
I know Carrie.
Yeah.
And he's got a buddy that's really big, and his nickname is Doughboy. So I don't know where that came from, but Carrie and Doughboy will go, and Doughboy can't remember shit, and so he'll be like, Carrie, how many beers we owned up? How many beers we drink last time we golf?
Fucking 78 beers.
We're drinking about 12 beers. I'll give the kid the 3 wood. How many beers we drink we got up to the turn?
Well, I'm pretty fucking drunk. About 6 beer, I don't know, you don't remember shit.
We're drinking about 9 beers. I'll get back to the cart.
And it's just back in, they're like an old married couple, and they're best friends. And a buddy, and you guys know Joe Emmert, another buddy of mine, told me he ran into Carrie and Doughboy. They both had knee replacements and were still at the titty bar with gauze and everything else. So, I mean, it's more than a little inside, but yeah, it's funny.
Fuck it. Motherfucker.
He says motherfucker faster than anyone.
Motherfucker. motherfucker, give him a fucking Joe $50. And motherfucker comes back and he's like, oh, and he tries to imitate Joe. Motherfucker, last time I paid you $75, and you still didn't buy me a euchre. So,
that's the voice I remember. You also do Kenny Tarmac. I forgot about that one. Yeah, and Coach.
Ralph
actually, the shark. What?
The voice of Carrie ties into Donnie.
That's what I thought.
Off of the one line. Carrie used to be our pitcher in slow pitch softball, and it didn't matter what the topic was. Carrie tend to brag a little bit. So I probably know more about fucking Rafael than fucking anybody knows. Fucking Ronnie, I'll fucking tell you.
So now Donnie says.
So I probably know more about anybody hitting the opposite field in a slow pitch game than anybody I know of.
Right. But when you first started doing Donnie was higher.
Donnie was lower.
Oh, it was lower. It was lower. Okay, lower. Okay.
It was kind of like Rick is now.
Oh,
Rick
okay. Yeah.
Character. Mm-hmm. Donnie was, I thought. I just wanted to do a character that the listeners couldn't tell whether it was a character or a real listener.
Right.
So I thought, this is going to be maybe 3 phone calls, and I still have major stage fright at this time. But right. I kind of had an idea in my head, and I got the idea from when Bob and Tom would go to these signings at the mall and watch. And I would go to a few of them, but I would always notice the guy that you guys would dread would be the Donnie that would... I know Chick ain't your real name. And they just weren't content with the autograph and moving on. They had to.
There was something more that they needed.
They wanted something, yeah.
The way I am with Major League Baseball players, or if I meet, a rock stars, and Donnie is the kind that takes it way too far, doesn't have a clue that, he's not doing well or isn't well received. So at the time, I thought it would be 1 or 2 phone calls, and they were talking about pickup lines, and so I thought, oh, this is right up Donnie's alley. And I remember I had a couple of them, but I remember being on hold, and I was like, I need one more. And on hold, I wrote, how about a 3-way, me, you, and some of this pork?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And it was, hey, man, how about a 3-way, me, you, and some of this pork? And just like Rocky getting, it sounded like Rocky when he would get punched.
Right.
And fast forward after the show that day, Tom liked it. It went over well, but Bob was on his honeymoon.
Yeah, that's what I wanted you to mention, because you were chicken shit because you wouldn't do it when Bob was here.
Well, Tom said, and I was afraid he jinxed it. He's like, hey, nice bit, but I hope Bob likes it when he gets back, so make sure you call in with that again. So I'm like, okay, now it's got to be good.
Time, yeah.
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 And it wasn't. Bob was in. And he was back from his honeymoon, and the call was okay, and I could kind of feel Bob feeling it out. I could kind of feel the room refilling. Finally, Tom saved it, and he said, hey, Donnie, tell Bob some of your pickup lines that always work.
There you go.
And it saved it. And from that point, I had the confidence to keep trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's been great. Like, Chick had the idea for Mom Phyllis. I was like, that is just perfect, that there would be sexual tension in this family between Donnie and
You wouldn't call her Mom because you have a mom. You call her
Mom Phyllis. Exactly. And but there's been and then by traveling, doing shows and going to the truck stops, I was like, who in the hell buys all this wolf art? Well, fuck Donnie would. Somebody's buying it. It's everywhere.
I'll text you a picture of a wolf t-shirt.
I bet people do that all the time. Yeah. Too. You get texts constantly.
Yeah, I get on the Donnie Twitter page a lot. Yeah. I'll get a lot of wolf sightings. But I've seen wolf seat covers, keychains, you name it, tattoos. Funny. You guys know Nick Pryor, the AKA Scotty Winkler.
Sure, he's a member of the Pork Pistols.
Yep, guitar player for the Pork Pistols. We're in a mall in Iowa one day just killing time because the drummer and the bass player are hungover and they don't wake up until 5. So Nick and I are killing time in a mall. And it's a bad mall in Peoria. And it's one of those days where they have kind of like the festival inside the mall. So antiques and all kinds of stuff. The mall's just cluttered, basically. Not much room to walk. But there was a section where there were these paintings. And Nick and I basically got thrown out of the mall. I took a picture with a cell phone of this wolf and an Indian. And the guy thought I was stealing his idea. It's this god-awful shit painting that nobody would.
No.
Oh, and they called security. And I was like, man, it's just a. And I don't want to tell him it's a joke. I told him I got somebody interested in buying this. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I don't want to. Right. And security said, you guys need to go. That's original artwork. Once it gets out of here. And I'm like, Once it gets out of here, I'll suck a dick if anybody buys the wolf with the Indian.
The wolf.
And that lift didn't even have the proper dimension foot. That lift had a pig foot on it.
And it did. The foot was just hideous. It was like, you couldn't tell if it was a tail or a foot, but it looked like a pig's foot on a lift. And so I was like, I'm in the car, I was telling Nick, because I didn't have the balls to say it. I was like, there's no fucking way anybody's going to buy that shit-ass wolf painting.
That's one of my favorite things. It's not, this is a horrible thing to say, but Ron is a very easygoing, make you laugh, make you smile if you're down. But on a few occasions, I've got to witness Ron lose his fucking shit. Yeah. We got turned around in Michigan.
Minnesota?
Detroit.
I think we were in Detroit. We had an early flight, and we got turned around, and we stopped and stopped and stopped. And it was always a Middle Eastern gas station.
And I didn't know Detroit had two airports. All I wanted to know was...
Yeah. I didn't know till just now they have two airports.
I guess there's one downtown, and then DTW, the main one. I've never been to the other one, Metro or whatever it is. So yeah, Jess and I are just wanting to make sure we get home. We just want to get home. So I have directions, but I don't know if I have directions to the right airport. And this is long before I learned the ways of Kenny and the airport codes, but I was five or six gas stations.
Yeah.
And I'm very impatient. Not that I have road rage. I hate being lost. And more than anything, my biggest pet, I hate backtracking. I hate hate it. Hate backtracking. I don't know why. And one of my first jobs in television was to work with Bob Knight in the Bob Knight Show. And by my nature of being able to imitate, I can throw a fucking fit. But I've learned from the best. But I remember that morning.
Right,
we would get, and it was like five or six gas stations that, you know, it was either a Middle Eastern or, I ain't from here, you know. I always get that guy. Fuck, I just started here. I'm not from here.
What do you want,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, what do you want, man? Yeah.
So was that what you knew what you were going to do, going to Butler? I mean, telecommunications and things like that?
My high school had a radio station, so I fell in love with radio at an early age. I had two older buddies that were on the high school radio station, and it was just the oddest combination. It's like, why would a high school have a radio station? But they were on the air, and I thought it was just the neatest thing that, wow, I can be on the radio, and not every high school has this, and they broadcast the football games and this and that. So in middle school, I was calling, they had, it was WRFT 91.5 FM. And they would cover Franklin Central High School sports. Mm-hmm. And so even in middle school, they would do a middle school report where once a week, a little Cub reporter like the Chick McGee, that's when you do your little Cub Broadcaster Club.
Oh, yeah.
It made me think of that.
Junior Announcers Club, sure.
So once a week, we'd get to call in with the middle school report. And my very first time calling, the guy said, okay, we just need to get a level check. Well, I didn't know what the hell a level check was. I hadn't even reached puberty yet. I didn't know he just wanted me to read my script.
Yeah.
And into the phone with my parents watching intently, my proud parents getting up at 6 a.m. I go, oh. Because there was an episode of The Little Rascals where like Alfalfa or somebody's trying to tune up for a song. Oh, they're just trying to... And they had to be dying laughing, but I did the report. The report went fine, but it was just awful. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I misunderstood the entire thing.
What was the first imitation you ever did?
I remember being 4 or 5 years old, maybe a little older or younger, doing Jimmy Carter for my parents and making them laugh. And I don't know, I would just walk around the house, pull my underwear up, and imitate Jimmy Carter, but I don't think the voice was anywhere close. It couldn't have been.
I know.
Looking back, poor kid, the voice isn't even close.
But I remember my dad would always have jokes. He was a car salesman most of his life. He just retired. But I remember going to family functions, and Uncle Jim would always make people laugh. And I think by being around that, I always thought it was kind of cool that, my dad, boy, he's a funny guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then he would tell me a joke sometimes if I would go into work. Ronnie, tell him the one I told you. And I remember memorizing the lyrics to Devil Went Down to Georgia, and I couldn't wait to say son of a bitch. And he would laugh at that. And so I don't know. I think early on I was just because he always had a good sense of humor. At family gatherings, I kind of took to that and was always drawn to, I don't know why I had an ability to imitate. I would make fun of my teachers in school. I had a teacher, Mr. Bastinelli, one day that made me get up and imitate he caught me doing it in the halls and imitate these other teachers that I think now he hated because he was laughing so hard. Until the eighth grade trip when some buddies set me up and said, hey, imitate Bastinelli. And I did.
Sam Bastinelli.
And all of a sudden on my shoulder, there's Sam, and he was pissed. Oh. Yeah.
What did he sound like again?
Sam Bastinelli's.
But his, I don't know if that's even close anymore, but I would imitate our school fundraiser each year was a cheese and sausage sale. Uh-huh. And the guy that ran it was the athletic director. His name was Mr. Schumann. And Mr. Bastinelli always wanted me to imitate Mr. Schumann because he would make sure with the cheese and sausage forms that we have to promote cheese and sausage. And the way he said sausage, I just couldn't get enough of it. So I would go around school doing that.
It's almost like you're Joe Wombat.
Yeah.
I'm Joe Wombat. Barometric pressure. Even. Repeating this hour's top story, there's no news at this hour. 36 and sunny, 1070 WIBC.
How many voices do you... I mean, I'm sure I left out a bunch.
Endless.
I don't know. I think on Bob and Tom, it's about a dozen for the 10 to 12 regulars. And then there was a period when I was just doing mainly local voices, you know, a lot of... But I find if I'm around somebody for a long time, like I could probably go out and do a best of the Bob and Tom tour. I can do Tim Wilson's first 25 minutes.
Oh, sure, sure.
I got Greg Hahn down a little bit better now.
Yeah.
You do a good Henry.
Yeah, Henry's not too tough. I even called into the show one time. Henry was on. I was like, yeah, this is Aunt Henry filler. It was Aunt Bev or something. Make sure you talk like that. Let's do that.
Henry, are you okay?
Yeah. But it's funny. When I... First started middays in radio, so I worked from overnights at WNDE, then I was middays, and I ran the board for Rush Limbaugh, and I think just because I heard it so much, all of a sudden I could do Rush Limbaugh. Worked for the Pacers radio network, and sitting beside Mark and Slick, all of a sudden, in my head, I could do Mark and Slick, and usually it starts out with one word or a phrase,
right. And
then it builds. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the harder I work, the longer it takes. That was the way with Tony Soprano. I went about it the wrong way, and I wanted so badly to do that because I wanted to be Tony. I still do. When I get big, I want to be him.
All right.
And I don't think I got it down to where I wanted it until the show was long gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I started it, everything was up and all I could say is do it fast. And I think we got an 8-minute bit one day where nine times do it fast.
Do it fast.
And it was awful. But gradually, there was a scene, and I forget what episode. Tony's in bed and he's eating dessert in bed and he's got this piece of cake and he's eating off his chest. So he's got the saucer on his chest and he's just taking his time with his little cheesecake.
Yeah, and he always breathes.
No, it's like the breathing. Yeah. Jesus Christ, it's hard to breathe and eat cake. Once I got the breathing, it was a lot going up was a lot more realistic and helped the impression than starting up and trying to go higher.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so Frank Caliendo pulled me in the green room one day and he said, hey man, I'm not trying to upset you, but your Tony sounds a little Asian. And so I was like, oh, fuck, that's a kick to the dick. I mean, you know, he's obviously the master of it. But I was like, I mean, I thought I was pretty close, but he was right. And I would listen back, and I was way too high.
Yeah.
So I focused on the Tony that, let's have a little talk. And I like when Tony would talk to women, especially, like, listen, you're a beautiful girl.
See?
But that sincerity.
You better stop.
But I just thought it was cool. The breathing, and once I got the low end, it was once you go higher, then wow, that sounds like Tony Soprano,
right?
When he gets mad. So yeah, it's funny how they come along. But there's not really I couldn't tell you how I go about it. Some guys, and I've talked to Frank about it, and some guys if they see an impression done, they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the case for me with Eddie Murphy. I had a buddy of mine in high school that could imitate his laugh, and I saw he would just basically inhale. And most guys do it, exhale when they do that laugh. But by the laugh, I got, the rest of Eddie, it wasn't tough. one little piece of the puzzle led to the other.
Right.
But I've seen Mike McRae do Vince Vaughn. I have no idea how he does it. I've seen Frank Caliendo do John Madden. That's the most bizarre
voice.
That's
the most, that's like, for me, his Madden is like your Floyd the Trucker, because both of them, I can't believe those voices are coming because they're so different. To me, when I do a voice, it always sounds like me in there somewhere.
It does.
But you're Floyd the Trucker, and thank you. And Frank's John Madden don't sound, I mean, they sound like John Madden, and it sounds like Floyd the Trucker. It's so different.
Yeah.
Floyd's not a real person.
Exactly. Well, that's my point.
Kind of is, because my mother's from Salina, Tennessee. So when we would visit my relatives in Tennessee, I picked up on Floyd early because there were people that just spoke like that.
Right.
And they would all sit in front of the courthouse and whittle. And I just remembered, I don't know why we were near the courthouse, but I remembered just the conversations and the overalls and the whittling. And one of the first characters I did in the high school station was an old guy named Cordell McGarrett. I went through the phone book in my mom's hometown and came up with the name. And so I would do prank phone calls on our high school station in the afternoon. And the guy that ran the station, it was probably the biggest influence in my broadcast life, a guy named Jim Johnson, who ran the radio station, was a great teacher, and let us do that. I mean, I don't know if it was even legal right. at the time, but so he would let us, you know, do these bits. But he was a big fan. His passion for radio was very much 700 WLW and Gary Burbank. And so he would give me ideas. And I'm like, that's a great idea. Well, I would grow up and find out 10 years later that, oh, that's a Burbank bit. And all we were doing was mocking it.
Right.
Like he loved Earl Pitts. So I started doing a bit on the air called Floyd Buck and sound off about something. And he would help me write. And but yeah, Cordell McGarrett was his voice like this, and it was awful. But people would buy it on the phone. But it was kind of based on some of my relatives from Tennessee, just the way they would talk. And yeah, Floyd, my mom says kindly all the time. It's kindly missed in the rain. And so Floyd, well, it's kindly missed in the rain. That's that. Well, was it raining or fucking not, Floyd? Was it, you know? But so I don't know. I was always kind of around that dialect. For a while, and as a little kid, just was able to remember it and call back on it.
So, would Floyd be your oldest character, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It was. I was doing Floyd on the AM station.
Okay.
Steve the Trucker. Mm-hmm. And the only phone call I made to Bob and Tom prior to that was a Jim Rome impression when I mean, Marty Bender, who was our program director at the time, had to beg me. I was scared to death. But I did it, and it went well and made the album that year.
Yeah, it's a great
Jim
Rome.
Yeah, and you didn't introduce Floyd until way later.
No, when I started with Bob and Tom,
really?
I all I had was Floyd because I'd met with Tom, and then the guy, X-103, Scott Jameson, I think, had told Tom, Ron has a trucker character that writes poems. And so Tom said, wow, okay, well, let's give it a try. And he did say we were at lunch one day, and Tom, I just love the name he came up with, because I wanted to call it Doyle, because I thought it was just funny that the name Doyle in Floyd's voice would be, this is Doyle. He and he's like, nobody will understand that. So he fought, and I was like, oh, I just think it'd be funny. Because in the movie Sling Blade, Doyle Hargrave, I just think Doyle Hargraves is just a great name. Yeah. I was like, well, can we go with Doyle? And Tom didn't like it. So we're getting ready to leave, and he's like, oh, do this Floyd Tucker, the world's famous trucker. Fuck, that works.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfect. And so I started calling in as Floyd. All I had when I started was Floyd, and I think Dr. Phil, but Tom didn't want me doing Dr. Phil because he said nobody knows who he is. And I was like, bullshit, my wife watches it every day, and I have to hear about it. I guarantee you guys know who it is.
Yeah, because you had a morning show that was like 6 to 9, and then that 9 o'clock hour after it was over, I remember you'd come down with Dean, and you'd do some Floyd calls a couple times a week, kind of.
Yes.
Slowly getting him in, is that right?
Yeah, it was Fox Sports Radio, and you're right. We were always the odd times. We were supposed to be the wake-up show for the East Coast. We were basically the overnight show, no matter how many times they would do. You guys know, you're our first program of the day, and then Tony Bruno would go on and blast us, or, oh, good that that crap's over in the overnights. Good morning, East Coasters, Tony Bruno. So anyway, after that show, gradually started getting more confidence and wanting to try more and more things. But I never wanted to. I don't know how Dean does it, because I would never like to call in seeing you guys.
Watching, yeah.
Because when I was a kid, one of my favorite things was, you know, going through the Little League phone book and pranking people.
Oh, okay.
And,
but you know, Dean looks down. He never looks up when he calls in.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
I always assumed he did.
No, he's looking down.
Unless you turn around and look at
I'll
him.
I'll tune around. I've turned around and looked at him.
Yeah, he generally is not looking at him.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I remember when I first started doing it, Mark Patrick, who made, you know, so many calls for years, was like, well, you got to go in there. And I was like, I don't want to go in there. So I would kind of like go to a room and poo, you know, kind of like, I just want to find my own hiding place. Like when you find your hiding place and hide and seek, and as soon as you squat down, you have to poo. That's how I felt. I felt like, I'm going to call, but I really need to go to the bathroom more than I need to make this phone call.
That and antiques.
Oh, antiques.
old hotels.
Yeah.
Oh. Did we tell that story on the air one time? We had a friend who we were on the Bob and Tom tour.
Probably.
And he, he would go into an older hotel, he would immediately have to go to the bathroom.
And I would book hotels, and I would be like, okay, it says bed and breakfast. Hi. Do you guys have antiques in the lobby? And how far away is your bathroom?
And he would walk in and go, oh, that's chick, funny. I'm carrying low. I got to go.
That was the other great line from Sling Blade is Doyle Hargraves did say, you know I can't be around midgets and antique furniture, Linda. Can't eat around it. And he,
that's right. Yeah. He does.
Dwight Yoakam.
Oh,
somebody.
Gosh.
Doesn't he want to just have the band over one night?
Yeah. Yeah.
It ain't nothing.
Yeah.
Just
put some chips in the bowl, fetch us ice once in a while. Shit, Linda. Yeah. And then later he's beating the shit out of everybody in the room.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hurting, Linda. I'm hurting. And she doesn't take the bait. Fuck you. Right back to angry again. That's my voice. I wish I could. That was a great character.
That was. Yeah. He did a great job.
What is the newest voice you think you... is it Kenny or Christie's neighbor Mike?
Yeah, I've done Clint Eastwood. When I did just stand up as Ron, Clint Eastwood was one of the main voices I did. I used to
It's a great Clint Eastwood.
Oh, thanks. It still needs, obviously he's getting older, and I saw the movie, mm-hmm. the baseball movie where he's the scout. There's a lot more gravel in his voice now than there used to be.
Something
but,
catch.
Yes.
Perfect.
No. But the one thing I could always do, the way he would say that's right or that's fine, the way, oh, that's right. You know, that he would, I could always get that. But then if I extend it, that's why the neighbor mic calls are so infrequent. I'm not quite confident on carrying on a conversation. Tom will, so are you busy today, neighbor Mike? Oh, that's right. Mike, what are you doing in the yard? That's fine. Doesn't matter. I kind of go back to what works.
Right.
It's like with Charles Barkley. When I first had Charles Barkley, all I could say, and I heard him say it on there, was,
that's racist.
That's all. This is going to be weird to work this in. But from racist, I went to a few
terrible.
Other phrases.
Terrible.
Yeah, Frank nailed that. That
Frank,
was Frank's
the one.
Line.
Yeah.
That was perfect. I mean, that's
horrible.
Perfect for that. Because I could never make Charles funny. And it was a long road trip with Jason Hofsetz one day. And I think it was coming back from the Field of Dreams.
Yeah, we went to Iowa. Mm-hmm.
I had my heart on for the Tony Soprano voice. And I was just confident enough to bring it to the air and thought, man, Charles is sucking, though. Because I was trying to do... basically, Larry King bits with Charles Barkley, but it's just so long. Instead of Dateline, New Jersey, old lady, you know. Oh, come on.
Forever, yeah.
But I could make Charles the straight guy with Tony.
Yeah.
And I think Jason came up with, I said, what do they have in common? And I don't know if you came up with Belly Up or I did, but basically it was, they're both kind of chubby and they both like to eat. And I think Jason, Belly Up, perfect. And man, that's probably been the most fun I've had. Because it's a bit that I never really know where it's going. I just kind of know what it's going to be about, but I kind of discover it on the run.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've told Jess this before. That was one of my most wonderful memories from the road is you and Greg Hans sitting backstage.
Oh yeah, doing.
And Rick was being
Rick.
Born.
Yeah, yeah.
And Han was going no. Or maybe Dusty came up with
fair
a little bit.
Han gave me fair enough.
Han gave me fair enough.
Get this, I'm at the rental car place. I'm trying to rent a car, right? So I'm at the rental car place. They tell me it's going to be $50, and then I get there, and the final bill's $90. Fair enough. That's what the guy says. Fair enough. I'm like, no, that's not fair enough. I got a bill here that says $50. Yeah, but he's like, Rick would say that. Rick would say fair enough.
Rick would say fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah
and by gosh, he would.
Yeah. Yeah. But Rick is, it's funny to me because Rick is a creeper, and I try to call in. Like today, there was a story about somebody having sex with a skeleton.
Yeah.
That would have been a good Rick. You got to talk about fucking a skeleton there a little bit?
A little bit.
And then he's always trying to, everybody probably done that a little bit a few times. And I love him, but he goes, no, we haven't, Rick.
No. But, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. Rick's almost too close to Donnie. I don't think Rick will ever have long-term legs, but it may be too close to Donnie, but it's one of the... we're here behind the scenes. It seems like more people kind of laugh or request that are well tuned in with the show than maybe any other.
It's usually a good exclamation point to a ridiculous topic.
Yes.
Yes.
On.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
And that real awkward. I get a kick out of you guys laughing. That real awkward where you can tell either his name is not Rick, which I think if the guy really existed, he's it's Rick.
Yeah, right.
Okay, he's really going to fool you. Or I'm not sure why he would hesitate, but it's just funny to me, that awkward pause where you guys know even before I say it who's calling in. So,
yeah. And what about Kenny Tarmac? Is when I hear you talking that way in the hallway.
Yeah, Kenny.
Just got off the road.
Kenny came from traveling doing Donnie. So I was starting to do comedy. I went from, a middle act, a bad middle act comedian as myself. And it was Greg Hahn that actually pulled me aside I opened a show for him in Greenwood one night, and in between bringing Greg up and the other comedian up, I slipped in a Floyd voice, and I was just saying, there was an old guy in the back that didn't get that last joke. I believe he was having a seizure or something. And the crowd laughed, and they were familiar with it from Bob and Tom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Greg pulled me aside before he went up, and he's like, "You're an idiot." "What do you mean?" He's like, "You got all these great voices singing. You don't do any of it. You're an idiot. You'd rather swim in a pool with 10,000 people rather than being in a hot tub with two naked chicks. You're a moron." And I was like, wow. And he wasn't being mean.
Right.
He was like, do more of that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the light bulb I needed at the time. It was a kick in the ass that I needed. And so I was doing Donnie on the air, and I thought, boy, I can... And plus, I had kids. I couldn't do like a regular comedian. I had a job now. I couldn't be gone Wednesday through Saturday. But with Donnie, I am automatically elevated to a level where you can just do a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah. Right. I can't imagine you as a straight comedian.
Yeah, I was on Bob and Tom. It wasn't too bad. I think there was a point in Chicken Room when they were having local people in the local segment.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that's how Jeff Bodart quit his job to do that.
Yeah.
And I came on during the local segment, and then I was on the network at one point just as Ron.
Mm-hmm. What Jess said, if I got to hear that fucking story again.
Sorry.
Talking to you, Bodart.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
No, let's get back to that story that we mentioned earlier, that we were all on the road heading, driving north in Indiana.
Uh-huh. And you and I were in our car,
and Ron and the Pork Pistols were behind us.
No, they were in front of us, I thought. They had to turn around and come back. Is that true?
Probably.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah.
So we get pulled over.
Policeman pulls us over. I roll down the window, and he goes...
He recognizes you immediately.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay, I knew he recognized me eventually, but I didn't
know. No, he recognized me first. Yes, he recognized you.
I didn't know if it was me immediately. So anyway, he goes, license and registration, so he, yada, yada, so he, I give him this stuff, and he goes back to the police car, and he comes back, and he goes...
We had been in a little minor car accident a month or two before.
Four or five years ago, Halloween, there was like a Schwarzenegger movie. We're stopped on a major, and everybody slams on their brakes,
and
then
all
of a sudden you hear this...
you hear it before.
Boom, boom, boom. And I look in the rearview mirror, and I go, babe, hold on. And we both squinted our eyes, and just wham! And this car went up into the air. I'm looking in my rearview mirror. It slams down on the pavement, and the car behind me.
It slammed on the car in front of it.
Yeah, and then that car slid into us and just banged us up.
Barely.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, it's...
You have to file it with your insurance agency, and if you don't, they suspend your license.
Oh.
That's what happened. Chick's license is suspended.
They told us that at the site of the crash. I forgot. So we're there. Fast forward, your license is suspended. I go, oh, well, Jess.
And he goes,
can she drive? And she hands me her license and goes,
this probably isn't going to go through.
This probably isn't going to go through.
Like a debit card.
That's right.
I just switched driver's license.
Sure enough, her license is suspended too.
I remember this. Yes.
So he goes, but as my life happens, he goes, chick, I'm going to give you a break.
Drive up to the next exit
and pull into the gas station.
Do you have somebody you can call?
Can you have somebody come pick you up? I just don't want to see what happens next. So I pulled in the gas station. We sat there. We called you guys. And you're going, none of the Pork Pistols had a valid license, but you, I don't think.
I know my drummer didn't for a long time.
I know he didn't. Yeah. I don't know if he does now.
I think he does now.
Okay.
Yeah, he got on the tour 5 or 6 speeding tickets.
Oh.
And then paid one trooper in cash and tried. And I said, I think he got robbed. And he said, no, Ronnie, that's how they do it here. But yeah, it was bad. Yeah, there was a while there where the driver's license was the most important part of the trip.
It was.
Yeah.
Who's valid?
Yeah, I know.
Who can drive?
Yep. That's funny. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
And then we went through that streak of place where we go get Boston baked beans.
Oh, that's the best.
Ronnie
gas stations
always gets them,
and sunflower seeds. And the trip would start with me going, we'd start driving down the highway, and I'd go, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah,
now.
That chick, every time we would leave, I always thought that was, and I still do it now with road trips with my kids. And they get a kick out of it. Nothing can go wrong now. So funny. Yeah, I still am giddy over truck stops. I love going into convenience stores and truck stops. The people, how can you just get gas and leave?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I was.
I was just at that I-80 one, the world's largest truck
really?
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, like last Saturday, they have a display of an old Jeep up on rocks inside.
just all the crap. Though.
Yeah.
I would probably puke if I realized how much money I've spent over the years at those things, but it does help your sanity on the road. It's my favorite part of the road trip, that and Applebee's with French onion soup and a half rack of ribs and sweet and spicy sauce by myself. one of my favorite, so I would get a lot of crap, but it was mostly, Boston baked beans or sunflower seeds. And I'll never forget traveling with Tim Wilson. I'd met my match because he would grab double or triple. And we probably had a worse diet than Wilson Phillips in their prime. I mean, it was, but I'll never forget going into a convenience store and there was a big display. And I hear Tim go, jalapeno Cheetos. And in my head, I'm like, like that's going to sell. And then, blam, he grabs like four bags of them. I'm getting ready to make fun of him. Well, hell, these ain't bad. I'm hunker down, hit the road. Jalapeno Cheetos. Fuck a damn bag of jalapeno Cheetos.
Remember that time, where were we, and he had to go to the bathroom. Tim said, go to the bathroom.
Right by the, and I had to backtrack.
And we're like 20 feet from an exit. No, we need to get off now so I can take a piss.
Yeah,
and,
I know. That's what Jess said. It's, he has a prostate the size of a pumpkin because we were our average uninterrupted tour. I think we were getting about 20 miles in between stops.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that we stopped a lot with him that time. But we were in a huge Econoline van, so each one of us had like a row.
Yeah, we all had rows. We all had our own row.
It was.
Ron, when you and I went to Iowa, the few things I remember was the belly up. I remember listening to a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
I think their Stadium Arcadium album came out then. But that was the thing. I'm kind of, I'm very, if you can imagine this, I'm very structured. And, you know, I have a breakfast.
No.
I have a lunch.
No.
And a dinner.
And a granola bar in there somewhere.
And Ron on the road. I mean, eventually I had to just say, Ronnie, can we stop and get a sandwich or something?
I mean, just snack.
He just completely snacks. But the best part of that trip was, because I had kind of eyed, I was like, where? Because usually at that time, I would kind of hop on with some of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I saw, Ron's going to Iowa. And no one else is going with him. So I kind of invited myself, but I kind of sold it. Hey, we could swing by Dyersville.
That was great.
Iowa, and see the Field of Dreams.
Yep, I've done it. Yep, it's cool.
And God, that was so...
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's cliche. It's out of a movie. It is out of a movie. But when you step in there...
Right.
It's like something... And Ron's such a big baseball fan anyway. Mm-hmm. It was fun to be there with
him. It really wasn't safe. Because it was at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and it's open to the public, but Jason and I are playing catch, and then you may have four other people kind of throwing a cross, and then somebody hitting fungos, and as the crowd grows, I mean, I couldn't believe that they didn't issue helmets just for, or make you sign a waiver.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, and that's pretty, I wasn't even a huge fan of that movie. The setting, I think I was a bigger fan of the setting.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But
absolutely.
It's pretty cool that that's held up that long. It was 1989, I think, or 90, when that movie was...
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man.
But yeah, it was a fun trip. But road trip, I still, I don't know how you guys are, but there are, you know, Sunday, you just can't wait to get home. Uh-huh. And so, for me, sometimes even on Saturday, I'm a little homesick. But there are some weeks where Thursday, I'm like, God, get me on the, chili peppers in the car, get me on the road. Or, you know, thanks to Bob Zaney with Delta, occasionally getting the upgrade.
Yeah.
It's there. Sometimes just traveling is good for the soul. You know, it's good to get away.
I don't know why, but one of my fondest memories is whenever any of us would score a bag of chilies, chips, and salsa the plane. And it was on. Yeah. I do. I miss being on the road.
It's funny what you crave. We were in Dallas, and Chick, do you remember Jess just having the shakes over the Oscar Mayer hot dog stand that wasn't open yet? And then hot dogs, and it was like...
I just walked by there.
Yeah, I think you were the only one to buy a hot dog from that stand that day, but she was craving the hot dogs.
She likes the King David hot dogs.
A hot dog.
She likes a hot dog, period. Yeah. Almost the raunchier, the better.
Yeah.
I know. I was always glad when I... Because most of the time, it was just you and I almost on every...
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and then it would be Chick and Christy rotating, and then whatever the comedians were, so... Ron and I spent a lot of time together, and it was like, I never had to be that girl, I'll have a salad. And it's like, no, Ronnie's like, we're going to fucking eat. And we did. And I gained 35 pounds.
That's why I'm on Sensa now. I can't lose any weight. I'm trying this Sensa shit.
Oh, the sprinkle?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, how's it going?
I haven't lost anything.
You haven't gained anything?
No, I haven't gained anything.
That's good.
But yeah, I don't know. I think my body's at that point where it's just going to be what it's going to be.
Right, you know? Right.
But in Donnie, it looks like, I mean, it's funny. I probably gained 20 pounds since I started doing Donnie. My drummer's probably, Dusty's probably gained 30 pounds.
Oh, God.
Bass player's still skinny, but he's got a pot belly. Scotty Winkler stopped smoking, so now he's put on weight. And he said, fuck,
no,
Ronnie, we've gained enough weight to add another member.
Oh, that was one of my favorite moments on the road with a comedy tour. You guys were doing a set, and I don't know who came up with it, but it was one of those. I love this aspect of it. Somebody came up with it backstage, and I can't remember who. But you had a friend at the concert.
We were in Denver.
Yeah. Was it Denver?
We were in Denver, and it was...
Dusty's friend, Lonnie.
Lonnie.
And maybe his stage name was Lonnie. But Tim Bedore actually helped kind of script this out. There was another comedian that...
on the spot, and we didn't know we were going to do it before we got to the venue, and it just happened. It was beautiful.
And so we have this guy sit on a bench and during most of the shows.
A piano bench.
I'll cuss out the drummer, blame him for everything, and we milked it just to the right point where people had to be wondering, what's that douche doing on the piano bench?
Just sitting there with the piano bench.
And he looked so pitiful and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Dusty, you forgot the fucking fog machine, and you forgot Lonnie's organ? And it really erupted.
They just had Lonnie on stage.
And this guy had long blonde hair and glasses.
Yeah,
he was kind of like
he looked
in a flannel
like,
shirt, just sat there.
Oh.
But it said everything. Like, well, we paid him to play, God, he's going to be on stage. And it was just, I don't, organ or not, he's going to be, yeah.
He looked just like Beavis and Butthead's teacher that sang Lesbian
that's
Seagull.
That's exactly what it was. Yes.
Did you ever incorporate Greg Warren and his flute ever?
Oh, yeah. He would come out and always do a cameo where we would start to play Barracuda, and then he would run out and play Barracuda.
And Greg Hans played drums with you guys.
Yeah, Greg Hans played drums.
Yeah.
One of the best on the fly things I ever saw on the tour, Bob Zaney had a moment of genius. We were somewhere, and Nick Griffin goes out, and you know, Nick's a great comedian, but his set isn't very rambunctious like a Greg Hans would be.
Oh, sure.
And there is a fire alarm going off in the back of the theater.
I remember that.
And it was just so, I felt so badly for Nick because Nick's got smart jokes and they have, you know, long setups and it's smart comedy. Mm-hmm. But this damn fire alarm's going off and it's just this whoop, whoop over and over. And so he tries to let it wait. And the staff's trying to kill it and trying, okay, we're fine now. Then lo and behold, Tommy Jonigan goes out. The same damn thing. Whoop, whoop. Well, I'm sitting there. It's like, God, I hope it didn't happen when I'm going out. And it didn't. And I go out. Nothing happened. Yeah, they had figured it out. Bob Zaney, right before he goes on stage, says, I want you, 2 minutes into my set, to go to this side mic and imitate. Because I was imitating in the green room. Killing it. It's like, oh, whoop, whoop. He's like, do that. So I start doing it. The crowd bought it and said, he goes, wait a minute. And he pulls me by the shirt, and I'm acting, I'm doing that dumb shit thing where I don't realize I'm being scooted on stage. I'm all hunched over, my eyes are closed, I'm going, whoop, whoop, and it just killed. It's because people thought Donnie was fucking up the first half of the comedy show, but I thought, damn, that was really smart on his part put all that together in about 20 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Any new voices that you're working on?
William Devane.
That's right. And the gold.
I buy gold.
That's right.
I love the way it feels. Yeah, I see those commercials pop up all the time, and it's so obscure. He's flying a plane, now he's fly fishing, but then everyone ends with me on a hammock going, what's in your safe? And he's so relaxed and just, I don't know. I always kind of thought he looked like our old general manager. A little bit. William Devane. So that's kind of the new one that, and I wear him out like at home. My family has to put up with it. I was doing Kenny Tarmac for my kids long before it was Kenny. I just called him Airport Guy.
Yeah.
And I would go to the mall and embarrass my kids.
And wouldn't they finish your, no, it was Dr. Phil that they would finish your punchlines or something, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I did Dr. Phil until,
Have you read my books?
Same way we're on vacation and I'm watching, I forget, A&E or whatever, and Steven Seagal comes on, and I made my living in the movies, and it was just
for the last
scene,
30 years.
It was a scene, I don't even think it was an episode, it was like the intro to the episode, where he goes, you get out the car, you get on the ground, and I kept doing that the whole vacation, and probably ruined it for my family, but it was so funny to me,
Well, if you hear voices on the Bob and Tom show, now you know who it is.
Yeah,
it's Ron Sexton.
I've been here about seven, eight years with the show, so now it's a lot easier to try new stuff. I had one that early on when I was just starting to kind of get my bearings, Steve Saggi had called in and just on a whim, like a one hitter, called in as God. And I forget what it was. Bob and Tom, this is God. And it was funny.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, all right, I'm going to call him as the devil. This will be. And
Bob and Tom, it's the devil.
And it laid there. I think Bob said, okay, go to hell. And he hung it up. Go back to hell. And I was like, oh, I can't do anything with Donnie. And Donnie. I'll never do that again. So that took me about a week to recover from that. But yeah, but it's been fun. You know, I tire on stuff quickly. Like it's.
Maybe faster than everybody else does, maybe. Do you
Sometimes. Yeah, because I've written so many Donnie bit. Like, the last thing I want to do is Donnie and a titty bar joke.
Mm-hmm.
I've written every titty, you know, and have rehashed them. But I understand that, you know, it may not be old to the listeners. And so I still try to come up with something fresh and different. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard because I think I've overexposed it at times on the air and maybe even on stage. But the fun part is I'm imitating somebody that doesn't exist.
Right.
Most of what I did were people that, you know, are celebrities impressions, but it's kind of fun, you know, developing a character and having it evolve to where he likes Whiffs or Bigfoot or Pudding Pops. I like him Pudding Pops.
Do you want to hear an early bit from Donnie?
Oh, it'll make me cringe, but yeah.
You know, when he's a little
How, yeah. Is it the palm reader or the fortune teller? Is that it?
This one's called Beat the Heat. Tips. Oh, okay. And this is literally one of his probably first five bits. Okay. So it's okay. Still that boy. And there might could be an intro here. We'll see, you know, how all Tom right. is. Okay. Intro.
All right. If you would just have a seat, please.
Here we go.
Oh, no. You again? Donald Baker.
I hate these chairs.
Why are you here? I just saw you earlier this month for your probation meeting, and you performed your community service, I see.
Now I got two more hours left, man. I'm sick and tired of doing this, too, man. Can I just do something to get this done with?
All right, 2 hours. I know what we can put you on. We've got very, very hot weather in the region. Let's go ahead and assign you to the Heat Stroke is No Joke Summer Nursing Home Fan Project.
I hate nursing homes. I can beat the heat, but I can't beat the smell, man. I swear to God I can't.
Donald, this is our last resort. It's only two more hours, so let's just get this out of the way. You'll be delivering fans to nursing home residents who don't have air conditioning. It's
man,
a very
what if
nice
I just tell them the ways to beat the heat, man? First of all, you need to find someone in your family who's had a vasectomy. Just tell them this, man. They know how to keep cool. My mom's last boyfriend is where I learned, man. He stopped shooting live rounds last summer and stuff. Two bags of frozen peas and duct tape will do the trick. I swear to God it will. It'll keep your body cool from the core and make your bulge look bigger.
It wasn't that bad.
A little deeper. Just a tick deeper.
Well, Jason, there was one point where Jason, early on into Donnie, he's like, man, your Donnie sounds a lot like Peter Gammon some days. And I started just doing Peter Gammon. So I think gradually I went higher to get back away from Peter fucking Gammon. So I think it was just one of those things that morphed into something. I don't know. And it's certainly easier to talk in a higher pitch than I couldn't imagine doing 45 minutes of this. Hey, where you work, man? Huh? What's your story? You know, it's a lot easier to be more conversational than...
Yeah. I think my favorite thing is when Donnie gets pissed now. Oh, that's what I look forward to.
Oh, gosh. When you and Tom, and your voice get Donnie's voice gets high.
I swear to God, you pissed me, Tom.
Just all quivery.
It's going to be three pinches, and first two, you ain't going to remember.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
Yeah.
Oh, do you get a lot of people come up to you saying you ought to say, you know, like, you know, you're self-defecating, those things that you screw up?
Sometimes, yeah.
Malaprops, people, I think that's what
is that what's called? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my, in the people, like, there's some stuff that works really well on the Bob and Tom show, but not so much in the audience.
Yeah.
People forget that Bob, Tom, Christy, and Chick have heard the best of the best over and over and over. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you guys will bite on the little subtleties that'll go right over a live audience's head.
Right.
Either
right.
A, because
that's what we look for.
They're worried about their drink, or they're just that guy that does the same thing. Mm-hmm. So in a live crowd, when I go, man, Scotty, we was in JV back in Circus 1997, I'll hear 19 people laughing really hard. But if I go, shut up, Randy, they'll all laugh. But it's the little nuggets like that that make me happy for Donnie. The little putting an S on everything. That's what Tim Wilson goes, wouldn't Donnie call it Subwayses? Call it Subwayses. Yeah, okay.
That's really how that started?
Yeah, well, I mean, not to put, I had been doing the plural thing.
All right.
But he said, I think even Donnie would call Subways Subwayses.
I think the first time you called him Derek Jeters.
Yeah, right? That's exactly where it came from. Hell, I'm better than Jeters.
Yeah, that's
Jeters.
Right.
And that other Puerto Rican from Mexico, what, Jeters? How much Jeters make? Jeters probably makes, what, $8,000 a game? Fuck Jeters.
Yeah. But and then when you go to shows, you always see the real, do you? I mean, not always, but sometimes you see, I know that, like, the real Donnie Baker, I know we've been on the road, and you're like, oh my God, that's Mom Phyllis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and we always took
I
a picture.
I love spotting Mom Phyllis. I love it.
Yeah, that's true.
But if you go to shutuprandy.com, in photos or something, there's a, what I had in my mind, what I envision of Mom Phyllis, there's a picture of her in there. And it was some lady that was an escort. And I forget where I Googled, I think, strippers or something, and this picture popped up. But God, it's Mom Phyllis if I've ever seen one. Yeah.
We'll have to look at that.
So now, Floyd, if I, you know, I'm asking the question, I kind of know the answer, but Floyd's kind of your favorite, but sort of because he can get away with the dirtier stuff,
yes,
in a way, right?
Yeah, and I think Floyd doesn't give a damn. I think if Floyd were real, I would think he wouldn't, A, necessarily know that he was on the air.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And B, I don't know that he would care if he were funny or not. It's, kinda, it's like my favorite thing, and it doesn't always work, but Tom takes it seriously, and I just want it to kind of be, lay there, but boy, we need this rain, don't we? I love little shit like that.
Right.
Because that's what my, you know, the my mom and dad both, my mom in particular, fascinated with the weather, and we need this rain, and I hate rain. Rain ruins a day. I don't care if the grass is yellow. It's either going to be green or yellow. May as well be yellow. We need this rain. You can't control the weather. You have no, you know, but Floyd would be fascinated by that.
And you're just an only child, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so do your, have your parents, you keep referring to your mom, has your dad influenced any of your characters? Or?
Not really. No. I mean, not really. No.
Do your parents?
His joke telling early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can't tell the difference between my voice that I'm speaking in right now and my dad's.
Oh,
so
really?
If you were
okay.
to call my folks' house right now, they would always get us mixed up. But my dad doesn't really do any, he never did any impressions that
he's
I can
straight
recall.
Jokes. Yeah.
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 And car lot jokes.
Right,
you know?
Right.
A lot of car lot jokes, which has helped. And those are great for Floyd because when he mm-hmm. was, he would send me, hey, I heard a good one, you know?
Yeah.
And so I would be able to use a lot of those as Floyd just telling a joke that he heard at the weigh station.
Uh-huh.
But
and your mom?
My mom is probably, I mean, she would blush at, you know, the cleanest joke I have.
Right.
She's.
I think I was at a show in Greenwood when your parents came.
Yeah, and
it
was,
may have been the first show. I don't know.
I was never more nervous, and it's the only one they. Well, I think my dad came to another show with a friend, and then my folks came to see the Pork Pistols.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah, I've never been more nervous.
I think, did Dusty reference that your mom was in the crowd?
He may have.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was hard. I prefer going to audiences. I like playing road games.
Right.
Not just mm-hmm. the hassle of so-and-so going to want tickets or this or that. Because
right.
I want people to enjoy the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you tend to just by nature try to cater the show too much to
sure.
somebody.
So, oh, yeah. It was you did multiple shows that weekend. But one of them was, I mean, it was a Southside indie show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knew everybody that was there.
Yes.
And it was fun. It,
yeah.
Those are fun, I'm sure, hometown shows. But in all of these people that I've heard you do impressions of are live there.
Right. No, Carrie and Doughboy were there.
Yeah, Carrie comes up and hits on me at the merch state, and I was like, oh my God, that's that guy. That's the motherfucker guy.
I'm trying to fucking buy a beer and she fucking drink beer and fucking sauce you want to fucking something else. Motherfucker. Can't get her fucking beer.
Exactly.
So what do you do when you relax? Like, you're a big Reds fan?
I like baseball, yeah. Live in Florida now, so I go, I think I'm getting old and sappy, but I love like riding my bike, watching a sunset, did kayaking for the first time, but big baseball love. And it's not that I'm a diehard Reds fan. Actually, my favorite part of the season is spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just because you don't feel like, well, we got to stay for the whole game. And the starters are only in for the first three innings. But it used to be, before I lived there, such a treat to just, wow, this happens?
Yeah.
80 degrees and baseball and mm-hmm. back home, it's shit water and mm-hmm. 40.
Yeah.
Right.
And Ronnie would come to a show after he'd been down in Florida for the week of spring training. He'd be like, I saw, and he'd tell me all these stories.
Yeah.
I didn't know who the fuck he was talking about. Yeah. And I was like, yay, Ron!
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Really excited about
who's
it.
Who's that?
Yeah. But it's... I'm kind of an old fogey now. I mean, I don't follow baseball religiously. I don't. I used to be a Cowboys fan. I would probably barely qualify to be an NFL fan, let alone a Cowboys fan. I used to know the starters. I know there's Romo and barely know the head coach, you know, Jason mm-hmm. Garrett. Outside of that, I just don't. I don't know. Having worked in pro sports, I worked for the Colts for 5 years, for the Pacers for three or four. I kind of saw that it's just a business. It's not the it's not the fantasy world I thought it was.
Right.
So that soured me a little on the whole thing. But I love my passion was really coaching my kids, going to their games, watching them play, and my daughter. Now I get to help coach the girls' softball team, which coaching girls, completely different experience, but a lot of fun.
I would assume so, yeah.
And breaking a nail is a big deal. Hair's got to be perfect. You know, so the coach had to figure out. The head coach is a great guy. His name is Roy Silver. And if you Google Josh Hamilton, Roy Silver is most instrumental and best known for getting Josh Hamilton off the junk and back into baseball.
Oh, really?
No, yes. And he happens to be our high school softball coach at Dunedin High School.
I have no idea who Josh Hamilton
is. Great, great human. Josh Hamilton
Texas Ranger. Probably, hopefully be a Texas Ranger, I guess. Yeah. He's in the got a new contract coming up.
Oh, so this is current? I mean,
He's still in,
He was a number one draft pick that threw his life away to drugs and was shooting up. He went from cocaine to crack to being strung out, losing, I don't know how much weight.
I know this story, yes. Was this a 30 on 30?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might have been a 30 on 30.
All the good ones.
I might have made you
all the good
that.
Stories are 30 on 30.
And then came back to put on the best display in home run derby history.
Really?
Right.
Oh, that's where it is. It's the home run derby. That's why all this sounds familiar. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Have you done the Tom Hanks impression in A League of Their Own for the girls yet?
No, I mentioned that like in a post-game
speech. And those girls are like, we weren't even born when that movie came out.
I don't really do a Hanks impression, but I do love that movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great... It's even though it's women's
Marla
baseball.
Hooch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back up farther.
Yeah.
Farther.
What a hitter. Remember?
That's right. Everybody. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. All the way, man.
Yeah.
Here's Marla Hooch.
I got to actually do John Lovitz from that movie because he was the scout.
Right.
Okay, cowgirls, it's grass. Don't eat it. Where are you going? I'm going home to give the wife a pickle tickle. My job is done here. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah. But and it's not a good John Lovitz, but I thought, God, it was like, I couldn't believe, because it was a pretty serious movie, and they had a bad, shitty SNL sketch artist come out to play that role. It was pretty, I don't think he's a great actor, really. Right.
But I do love him. Yeah. I just love that guy.
Yeah.
That
liar.
The cartoon. Remember how cartoon?
The liar was brilliant.
The liar was, where was, I was at the movies. Yeah, that's where I was. Yeah. Oh, no, you don't remember that one? No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I watched his cartoon.
John Lovitz cartoon?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He went. He was a shrink, or he went to visit a shrink all the time.
Looked just Jonathan like Katz?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, never mind. We've always talked about the Chick McGee, Bob Zaney, Donnie Baker shows.
Yes.
I think we did. Did we do one, I think?
You guys did one in Maryland, didn't you?
That's right. Dover, Delaware. Yes, that's right.
Or Delaware, whatever.
That's East right. Coast. No, but we were... The affiliates in Maryland, but we were actually in Delaware.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
That's how that happened.
Yeah, that's the best show is always at the merch table at those shows after the show.
That's true.
Between Donnie being a dick and Bob trying to sell everything, and then just people, you know, it's funny how I've written more jokes at the merch table, just kind of people watching than I think anywhere else. But it's funny. It's going back to, again, to how I kind of came up, you know, people kind of forget their.
Yeah, there was, it was that. We were at a Bob Evans somewhere, I don't remember, and we were sitting at
we were sitting at the counter.
We were sitting at the counter, and just listening, and this and a gentleman walks up and sits at the counter, and the waitress walks up, and she's obviously very familiar with him, and says, "Your ex-lady was just in here." And he was like, "Yeah." She goes, "And she still got your tags on that truck." And I was so excited to tell Ron. I was like, "You will not believe what just happened."
Oh, right.
And it was just it was so
real and so
just to witness that. And I was, oh my gosh, it was so funny.
Yep, that's all great. Right. I thought, and along those same lines, Greg Warren had a great joke recently. Maybe it was a tweet. I don't know if he said it on the air, but it was. Have you ever noticed that the day shift bartender's always pissed with how the night shift bartender left the bar? I mean, it's true. And with my countless Saturdays at Applebee's, you got to sit there and listen to it.
Yep.
Dennis did it again.
Well, thank you, Ronnie. Donnie.
Thank you, guys.
Floyd.
I'm going to listen to more podcasts. Now, I really don't. I'm so far behind the times with technology, but I've done several podcasts. I was with Bob Biggerstaff and then a group at Morty's Comedy Club and a few others, but this is fun. I need to actually figure this out and find out how to listen to these.
It's pretty cool. We should start a network.
We'll set you up.
Yeah, have Jason and do the technical stuff, right?
It's all about pushing buttons.
That's right.
In the right order.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you, Chick.
Thanks, Jason.
Whatever.
Good night, everybody!